If you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Gospel according to John chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Let us hear with our hearts and our minds this word of God. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Grant us understanding and application. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I've said it before. I love the story about the children of Israel, how they proliferated in the land of Goshen, deep in the heart of Egypt. And their numbers just grew and grew and grew because they had favor with God. And the Egyptians, they got real concerned about that. And they were afraid that the Israelites would take over one day, that the Hebrews would turn on them. And so they began to subjugate them. They made them into slaves, and they were very oppressive. And the Hebrews just continued to grow. They cry out for help. God sends Moses. Moses comes in, says, "Let my people go." Pharaoh says, "No." God sends all these plagues upon Egypt. And finally, the Egyptians relent. And they tell the Israelites, "Get out of here. We just can't take this anymore." And they shower them with all kind of gifts as they're leaving. Now, a lot of theologians put the number of Hebrews who left Egypt to go into the wilderness, they put that number around 1 to 3 million people. So that's how much they grew. But let's say it's only 500,000. Do you know how much land that would cover? 500,000 people. You know, they're not all packed together, and they're carrying carts. They're pulling carts. They have tents and household items and food and then livestock, and there's young and old alike. And they're all spread out going out into the wilderness. Cover a lot of territory. If you were at the back of the line, you'd be eating a lot of dust. And it would be hard to see all the way to the front of the line. My goodness. A lot of people. And so they move out into the wilderness. I mean, God had just delivered them with mighty acts of judgment. And they move out into the wilderness, glad to be away from the oppressive Egyptians. And then it starts. They start moaning and groaning and complaining. And they start saying to Moses, "You know, you brought us out here to die. We're going to starve." And Moses cries out to God, and God sends them manna. How many people here know what manna is? How many people here don't know what manna is? God sent them bread. It's bread from heaven is manna. Every morning when the Hebrew people would get up, they'd go outside, and on the bushes and on the grounds, there would be these big flakes of this light, fluffy wafers, like bread. And they would gather that up, and there'd be enough for the whole day to feed their families. But God said, "Don't gather more than what you need for the day." Well, you know, people don't listen. And so they would gather extra for the next day. And when they went to get it, it was always full of worms. It was no good. But God said, I'll give you enough for every day. Just go out in the morning and pick it up. It'll be there. And then he said, on the day before the Sabbath, pick up twice as much. And he said, so you don't have to work on the Sabbath. And so they did that, and it didn't go bad. Pretty cool. Well, they complained about that. All we get is bread. Bread, 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 bread. We want meat. And so God sends them meat. How many people here have eaten quail? Anybody ever eaten quail? You've eaten quail? I've never eaten quail. I mean, no doubt it tastes like chicken. Tastes like quail, he says, but it's chicken. It's a foul meat. So, you know what I mean. So, just imagine how many quail would have to come down in the evening to feed 500,000 people. Woo-wee. Man, that's a lot of birds. And they would be there every evening. In the morning would be the manna, in the evening would be the quail. Just amazing how God provided for them. Then they complained about not having enough water. Not enough water for their stock, not enough water to bathe with, not enough water to drink, not enough water to cook with. Complain, complain, complain. And so God has Moses, in one account, he speaks to the rock. Another account, he hits the rock. A big old rock in the desert. Talks to it, and water comes gushing out of the rock. Enough to take care of 500,000 people. It's a lot of water. Can you imagine the logistics of moving 500,000 people through the wilderness? About the clothes and all the stuff they're carrying, and feeding them. And Connie, what's my favorite, Joy? Indoor plumbing. Well, they didn't have indoor plumbing. Who had that job? Wow. All the animals they had to take care of. And God kept providing for them water and bread and meat. And we get to Numbers 21. Pharaoh and his armies, they decide they want the children of Israel back because they need their slaves. They want them back in Egypt. And so Pharaoh and his armies, they go charging after the children of Israel. And God tells them to head for the Red Sea. And so they're going through this one country, and this country comes out and attacks them and takes some of them captive. And they cry out to God, and they say, God, this isn't right. This shouldn't be so. If you'll help us, we'll wipe out this country and burn their cities to the ground. So God says, go ahead. So they go in and they get their people back. They wipe out the armies of this country that were oppressing them, and they burn their cities to the ground. And then they start heading for the Red Sea again. They come to the land of Edom. And they send in a representative to go into the land of Edom to the king. And they say, we just want to pass through your land. We need to go to the Red Sea. Now, it's a big deal. I mean, 500,000 people. They're going to leave a mark. The king says no. He says, and if you don't go around, I'm going to bring out my army. And I got a big army. You aren't allowed to come through Edom. And so Moses, rather than go to God and say, come on, we need your help, he says, okay, and he goes around Edom. It's a long walk. All these people. And it says in verse 5 that the people got tired of it, they got fed up, they moaned, they groaned again, and they said, they spoke against God and against Moses. And they said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. The food that God was giving them, they detest it. Hey, that's like going into a real fancy restaurant, ordering the best meal there, and calling out the chef and say, boy, I can't stand your food. Can't stand it. And yet it's top notch. Man. These people liked to moan and groan. They didn't want to be part of the solution. They wanted to be part of the problem. That's the kind of attitude people have. Can you see this? It's a water pitcher. I'm going to fill it up with water halfway. You tell me how much water is in that pitcher. half full, half empty. Half full or half empty tells you where your heart's at. Half empty, that's a negative witness. Half full, it's a positive witness. And these children of Israel, boy, they were all about half empty. This bread's no good. We want meat. Get meat. Ah, this meat's no good. We want water. Get water. Ah, this water's no good. Complain, complain, complain. And so God says, all right, that's it. That's it. I'm sending snakes among you. Poisonous snakes. Among 500,000 people. And these snakes came out and started biting people. And they were dying left and right. And they realized what they'd done wrong. They'd realized all they've done is moan and groan and complain against God and Moses. And so they repent of that. And Moses goes to God and God says, okay, I want you to make a bronze serpent. The very thing that's killing them, I want you to make it and put it on a pole and lift it up real high so people can see it from far off. Make it a big one. So he makes it and he lifts it up and he says, when people look at it after they're bitten, then they'll be saved. And that's what Jesus was telling the people in John. That just as the bronze serpent had to be lifted up, so he had to be lifted up too. In order for the people to be saved from what was killing them, they had to look to the thing that was on the cross. We are dying from our sin. The wages of sin is death. Sin separates us from God, little ones and big ones. Good people and bad people are going to hell in a hurry. Our salvation only lies in Jesus and no place else. And Jesus said, when I am high and lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. Our salvation is right there on that cross. It's when we look at Jesus, who was lifted up on the cross, and he took upon him the sins of the whole world, those sins that were killing us. He took our sins upon him. So now we have to look at the thing that was killing us, the sin, and it's nailed to the cross. And we have to have faith in Jesus. Faith that he'll deliver us. And then we are healed. And only then. And that is the only way. See, John 3:16 is easily the most recognizable verse in the Bible. Everybody knows John 3:16. Well, just about everybody. Thanks to a man who wore a kind of a round fuzzy wig with all different colors in it, rainbow colored. And at sporting events, he'd hold up a card. He'd sit up in the stands and he would hold up a card. And the TVs always showed him. What did it say on the card? John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 has been referred to as a summary of the Bible. It is the Bible in a nutshell, Old Testament, New Testament. It is the story of Almighty God. It's why he did what he did. Because he loves us. He so loved the world, me and you, that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him, and I mean believe, not just know about, but believes in, respects, honors, obeys, shall not perish. Our bodies are made to die. They're mortal. They are temporary. But our spirits are to live forever. We'll not die, but have eternal life. And how? By having faith in Jesus, who was high and lifted up on the cross, who became the sin of the world, paid the price for you and me by faith. The centurion, he had a servant that he loved. The centurion is a Roman officer in charge of all these other soldiers. And he was really good to the Jewish people. He helped build their temple and everything. So when his servant got sick, he sent for Jesus. He'd heard about Jesus. He sent for Jesus. And so Jesus was on his way. And the centurion himself went to meet Jesus. And he said, listen, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. You just say the word and my servant will be healed because I know how that works. He said, I'm a man of authority. He says, I say to this soldier, come and they come. I say to that soldier, go and they go. He says, and I know that all you have to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I have not had seen such great faith in all of Israel. Such great faith. He understands. He gets it. Luke chapter 17, verse 19, Jesus said, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Luke 18, 42, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Luke 7, 50, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Luke 8, 48, daughter, your faith has healed you, go in peace. Matthew 9, 22, take heart, daughter, he said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. Matthew 15, 28, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed in that same hour. Faith in Jesus Christ heals us. Faith in the cross heals us, delivers us from sin. It's the answer to our problems and everybody else's problems. And there is no other answer. It is the only combination that works. Nothing else works. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But thanks be to God, Jesus has been raised. Thanks be to God, he was raised on the cross and then raised from the dead forevermore. And we live in a broken world, and all around us, people are being bitten by snakes of sin. And they are dying. Because they don't have the right combination. Because they're not looking at the cross. They're not looking at Jesus who is high and lifted up. They need to look at the cross. They need to put their faith in Jesus. And it is up to you and I to tell them. We need to witness to them about the goodness of what God has done for us. About how we were blind. But now we see. Because we look to the cross. We've got to spread that word. I have a pastor buddy. I've mentioned him before. Jimmy Jarvis. He has a church down in Greene County, a non-denominational church. Jimmy's uneducated. He didn't go to seminary or college. He plays a guitar and sings, and he's a preacher. People just love him. Jimmy, he's bigger than me, red hair, same age as me. Jimmy was a bad boy. I mean, alcohol, drunk all the time, drugs, sold drugs, took drugs, committed all kinds of criminal acts, was arrested several times. He was a bad boy, grew up that way down there in Greene County. Everybody knew Jimmy. Troublemaker. And then as a young man, Jimmy found Jesus. His life was changed because he beheld the cross. His sins were forgiven. And he became a new creature in Christ. And then he began to preach the gospel. And people just flocked to him. Not because he was fancy or anything else, but it's because he was living proof that the cross makes a difference. You and I both know people who need to hear this message. You and I know people who are struggling, who have got snakes in their lives. And the only cure, the only combination is right there. It's the cross. God loves you, and so do I.